No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
The proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith. Since a prehistoric ages, in the days of ancient Greece, walked down to the Middle Ages, better us kept going through changes, and then the Renaissance came, and the times continue to change, nothing stayed the same, but there were always renegades, like you said.
So, you know, you look at, you know, earlier we were talking to Bob Wiener, who questioned Secretary Mnuchin about you're cutting in the next 10 years. By 2026, you're cutting 26% of Medicaid funding. By 2036, Medicaid will be cut by 35% in this health care bill. Now, you put that on top of what they want to do in the budget, which is another, I think, over $800 billion. You're going to cut Medicaid funding by in excess of 50%. Easily. And is that good for the economy? Is that good for the future of the country? Is it good for seniors? Is it good for the future? I say absolutely not. And this nonsense that, well, people will choose not to buy insurance. Granted, they make $1,500 a month. Insurance is $2,000 a month. They chose not to buy it, right? It's just nuts. But here to talk about the health care bill, the future, this nasty budget. Our good friend Mateus Vernango, he's a professor of economics there at Bucknell University. Also fantastic blogger, nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So am I wrong when I look at Mnuchin's comment that by cutting, you know, 35% out of Medicaid over the next 20 years, that's really not just stealing away from people, that's giving people choice?
Well, I think it's like Bernie Sanders used to say that you have a choice to buy a mansion, you know, something like that. You know, the whole discourse, Republican discourse, is based on this idea. You know, it goes to education too. You have a choice to put your kid in a private, very expensive school. Yeah, sure, markets allow that. So I always say that the difference is that Republicans don't tend to think in terms of restrictions. They don't think what people actually can do. So your choices are very limited. If you are, as you say, you know, in the lower 20% of the income, you know, distribution. So it's very cynical. The whole thing is very cynical. It shouldn't be surprising. The Senate bill, you know, the CBO came out. Again, I should say, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, I you know, always have my qualms with economists, but the CBO has been always incredibly accurate in terms of its calculations, and sometimes those weren't in favor of Democrats, I should say. But, you know, it leaves 20 million people uncovered, and we're talking, you know, basically this is a tax cut for the very wealthy. So to call this anything but an income redistribution sort of program is a lie. Yeah. And by the way, they've been lying explicitly. I mean, Trump sent, you know, Kellyanne Conway and other minions to say explicitly that it wasn't a cut on Medicaid, and you know, when it's evidently what it is. So it is not surprising. I think, you know, the other thing we have talked before about this, it's that the only thing that they can manage to do is they're trying to pass a tax cut through health and through eventually the budget so far hasn't done that, but my guess in the second half of the year that's what we'll see more explicitly, you know, some sort of a significant tax cut and you know, we are not going to see any sort of increase in spending in any sort of significant way in infrastructure. So I'm concerned. This is the worst element of Reaganomics. Without even some of the increase in spending and that sort of stuff that, you know, that if it's well done could actually help some people. So this is very, very concerning.
Now, you know, I've been saying for a while, this is who they are. They've been telling us who they are. These are their policies, their long-standing policies. And, you know, this idea, and I keep hearing...
I'm, I'm not sure if you're right about that. They don't tell this explicitly. And in fact, I think Trump is very confusing in that sense. Trump is also... So there is this populist element on the table. He's not exactly the Koch brothers. He didn't get money from the Koch brothers. So he's a tool of the same groups. You're absolutely right. But he did... He's not for free trade. He has done something on that. And the problem I see is that there is a significant amount of lying going on. So they are for and against. They're against the poor. This is class warfare.
Of course.
This Senate bill is class warfare. And they normally suggest that the Democrats or the progressives within the Democratic Party are for class warfare. But this is absolute class warfare. And on the most vulnerable people in society. But they lie about it. So they actually got some credibility, I should say, because Trump has all of this populist discourse behind him. And so it's very cynical. I know that the levels of cynicism have been very great in, you know, and always in politics, but this is amazing. On levels I don't think I've seen before.
No, but the reason I say that this is what they believe in, this is what they've been telling us for a while. You look at this healthcare plan. There's nothing surprising in this for me. You look at their budget. There's nothing surprising in there for me. All of the policies they've put forth, it's what they've been advocating for at least the last 10 years.
Oh, longer. But I'm a bit surprised because I thought that, even from the beginning, I told you that there would be some things that like trade. Certainly stalled on the TPP and stopped that, and then said he's going to renegotiate NAFTA, and those were things that he said, and maybe he said he was going to spend on infrastructure. So those things were things that progressive Democrats could work with him, and snatch small victories, and not much. I didn't expect much. Don't get me wrong. I think his presidency is going to be a disaster, but
going to be.
But I'm surprised. Yeah, well, it already is in many ways. But the point is that I don't think we will have even those small victories. So it's very little indeed. So it seems that it's a combination of the libertarian sort of group that doesn't want any kind of spend. So the infrastructure spending would be acceptable for the old pork and barrel sort of Republicans that used to exist too. So it's a strange combination of the libertarian sort of Grover Norquist sort of side of the Republican Party that really wants to limit what government does, and so the fact that it's very surprising that they're actually going to cut this sizable chunk on Medicare. These are popular programs, and the only way they can do it is by lying. So they go out and explicitly lie, say, no, we're not cutting Medicare, when they are exactly doing that. That kind of lying, and that I suppose is the only positive role that Trump has for Republicans. I was wondering why they're stuck with him as much as, I suppose we all are, but why many Republicans sort of supported him at the end of the day. And I think the reason is that he's the guy that can go out and lie with a straight face.
Oh, they all can lie with a straight face. But here's the thing. And then the reason I say this is who they are is, they didn't want Medicare. They didn't want Medicaid. They didn't want Social Security. They don't want labor laws. They never wanted this stuff from the beginning, and they don't want it now.
Well, yeah, you're right. Reagan said back in the 60s that Medicare, Medicaid would sort of bankrupt the economy and lead to socialism. And that is patently untrue. So and those are popular programs. They have not led to any kind of socialism. They have led to the elimination of poverty in old age to some extent.
Right, but here's the thing, Mateus, and this is where, again, you're talking about Medicare and Medicaid as if they're one. Medicare, wildly popular, because people believe, hey, I paid into it, it's mine, I should get it. But Medicaid has been perverted to the point, and you listen to any right-winger, Fox News viewer, that's Medicaid's for those poor people, those immigrants, those undocumented, it's for those people, without understanding that Medicaid really helps the middle class by giving seniors the ability to have some security.
Yeah, no, you're right. The numbers, I mean, the other day, because of all of this, they had the numbers. Some of the numbers are staggering. I don't know, almost 60-something percent, almost 70% of the births in this country are paid through Medicaid. And so the numbers are brutal, you know, of how much we rely on those public services. I agree with you. I don't disagree that they never liked it. I'm it might be a nuance on how willing to lie they have been in ways that I suppose even Reagan was more moderate in his willingness to lie, and you know, even in things like as I said, you know, the dangers of not just deficits, but you know, which there might be, you know, but of cutting taxes crazily. So they're, you know, Reagan did increase taxes. So these guys are gonna go just for that. I think it's the only thing you should expect in terms of economic policy is. It's cut taxes for the wealthy, and that's all. And also, I should say, you know, we shouldn't have any sort of hope that things on a global scale are going to get any better. So I don't see a scenario in which globally, you know, the economy does better. So I see things very bleak in Europe. I see things very bleak for developing countries. So we're looking into globally an economy that does not particularly well.
Are we looking towards recession or heaven forbid worse?
The term of that everybody uses these days is secular stagnation. One may have qualms about the explanations that some economists give for that, but I think it's all self made. So I mean, the American economy, it's political. It's the political economy of this thing. We don't want to increase wages. We don't want to create a sort of shared prosperity that it is possible. But it's one of those things. You know, whether we're going to have a recession in the near future or is a few years ahead of us, it's something debatable. There is a chance if there is a global shock, and also depending on how monetary policy is conducted. We have been tightening. Janet Yellen sort of signaled that they, you know, may increase another time this year the interest rate. So those things don't bode well. So they suggest that it is possible that we're going to have a crisis ahead. Remember, that there is the question of still the middle class is overburdened with debt, car loans, student loans, and all of those things. So the situation doesn't look good for the U.S., but the global scenario is also not particularly good, and we might anytime soon have a rekindling of the European crisis. So things look pretty dark, I think.
Great, and we're talking about Mika's facelift. I'm feeling not optimistic.
Yeah, no, there is very little reason to feel optimistic, I'm sorry to say. So there's nothing that, you know, suggests that things are going to get better anytime soon. The things that I hoped, that we could, as I told you, you know, when this presidency started, that, you know, perhaps because there is a populist backlash against free trade and globally, and that, in tandem with perhaps this sort of notion that, I mean, Trump at least in the campaign trail, he had said that he wasn't a Wall Street person. You know, in his personal life, that's also true. So he certainly doesn't come from Wall Street. So this notion that he was going to spend on infrastructure and whatnot, and those were things that, you know, gave one a little bit of hope that maybe there is something there. I think those, you know, at this point, those are definitely gone. So there's nothing to be hoped out of this, and so the only thing that I would be, if you want to say hopeful, is that perhaps I think that there are lots of tendencies that look good for progressive Democrats. In terms of demographics, in terms of where the economy is going and some sort of rearrangement of working class that will allow for a more consistent sort of support for progressives in Congress and hopefully, you know, a candidate for the presidency. So I think, if the economy goes the way it's going, I think it's going to be hard for Trump to hold those working class votes that he got in the Rust Belt.
Yeah.
People are not stupid, so they do know when the economy is not doing well, when jobs are not created, when wages are stagnant, and so that means that there is hope for the midterm elections, and for if Democrats go for a progressive a short presidency at least.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, which again is why I think they're trying to compile all the voter records and try to figure out how to steal 2018. Because you're right, the jobs aren't coming, the promises aren't going to be kept, and that anger, which is real, will eventually turn on them.
I think so. And they're incredibly. I mean, you have to give at least this to Democrats. When not holding Congress, they managed to pass a few. I mean, Obama has accomplishments, so he did Obamacare is certainly the biggest one, and I don't want to diminish the fiscal package, and those were passed with zero Republican votes, but at least the Democrats fell in line, whether they agreed or disagreed, and voted for that.
Right.
Republicans have been unable to manage to, I mean, the Senate bill, if they had the vote, they can pass this stuff. It's a big tax cut to their constituency and to themselves because they're all wealthy, but they can manage even to do that, which is, it's amazing. So they're very ineffectual. So that's the only other sort of positive sort of story here, I think.
Well, for the next few months, let's hope that trend continues. Mateus, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing your thoughts, even though they're kind of got a little depressing. There is hope at the end, I hope.
Yeah. The hope in the dark. As I said, hope in the dark is that, we can actually, move away from this sort of very bleak, oligarchy that we are living in.
I appreciate it. I hope you have a great holiday week. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, our good friend Mateus Bernango. You want to check out his website? We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com, nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. Some fantastic economic writing over there. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Get up and take your money. All they want to do is get up and take your money.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.